Is your appetite sometimes out of control? Are you unable to stop eating even when you're full? Download our new Intelligent Medicine video, Defensive Eating, Taming Your Addiction to Food. There's a physiological basis for food addiction. The food industry has gripped our brains using powerful food science. Find out what we can do about it. Go to DearHoffman.com to download this important video. We will arm you with proven strategies to change your eating behavior forever. Go to DearHoffman.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is part two of today's discussion with Tom Naughton, who is the writer, producer of the movie Fathead. The contention of that movie is that it's not about the fat in our diets. It's not even about the processed fat. We've been fed a whole lot of baloney. That's the contention of that movie. And we talked a little bit about it in part one, especially in light of the recent World Health Organization pronouncement that processed meat was a carcinogen on the order of cigarettes and arsenic. That's created a lot of blowback from the nutrition community. And Tom's skill is in articulating some of this complex science in a highly digestible, excuse the pun, way that's also amusing and lighthearted. And that's really the approach that he takes in Fathead, the movie. I recommend highly that you watch it. Tom's involved in several other projects. He has a blog at fathead-movie.com where he continues to weigh in on nutritional issues. And also, you've got a book in the works, right?
I do. My wife and I are working on it. I write, she draws, and you know, we didn't get married for that reason, but after several years of marriage, when this book idea came up, just seemed like a perfect fit.
The family that writes together stays together.
Absolutely, yes.
So, and the book is geared towards kids. What's the message that you want to impart to kids in a palatable way? I just keep inadvertently punning. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. We shall, for every pun you shed upon your punish head, I believe there's a saying, something like that.
Very good.
The book is basically directed to parents and kids, but we really want to get the kids on board with this just to explain to them how food affects their weight, their health, their mood, etc. And what inspired it was when Fathead went to Netflix, which was the first time it really found a huge audience. I started hearing from a lot of parents sending me emails thanking me for making it and saying, my kids loved this. My son watched it 6 times. Oh, and by the way, thanks to you, he doesn't want to eat sugar anymore. And I mean, that just blew me away because I didn't make it for kids. I made it to be entertaining, and I guess because it had some cartoon animations and some humor in it, I guess a lot of kids took to it. And that really got me thinking and discussed it with my wife, said, okay, we didn't make Fathead for kids, but you know what? Maybe our next project should be for kids. Because when I see kids who are overweight and I see kids developing type 2 diabetes, that drives me out of my mind. I have 2 young daughters. I can't imagine having to deal with them having diabetes at this age. So we really want to come up with something that is easy to digest, as you said, and entertaining for kids, just to get them to understand this. Because I think a lot of kids, if they really truly understand what that bad food does to them, I think they'll want to stop or at least cut back, because I think most kids do want to be healthy.
Well, you know, when it comes to movies about nutrition, there seems to be kind of a duality, because you got movies like Forks Over Knives, which is a very popular movie, but I would say that that movie is sort of the antithesis of your movie, because it weighs in against animal protein consumption. And then on the other hand, you have Fed Up, which I think is a worthy successor to your movie, because it kind of carries out a similar message.
Yeah, you know, the vegans and I have a lot of disagreements, but if you look at the diets that people improve their health on, including, by the way, some vegan diets, there actually is a commonality, and the commonality is real food. Because most people who become vegans don't just stop eating meat and then continue eating all the other garbage that they were eating before. Right. They give up the meat. They also give up the French fries, the sodas, you know, all the processed junk. So I don't think, and I would very strongly disagree with the vegans, that you need to give up meat to be healthy. In fact, I think your health can be at risk from a vegan diet if you keep it up too long. But there is that commonality there, which is, come on, eat your broccoli, eat your real unprocessed food, and you're going to probably improve your health.
So you're not opposed to liberal consumption of fresh fruits and vegetables?
Not at all. And, you know, my movie encourages people to eat a lower carb diet. I do not and will not tell people to go on a zero carb diet. I can see where that's beneficial for certain people under certain circumstances, but I kind of put this in terms of human evolution. And, you know, people have been healthy on all kinds of macronutrient ratios, but there were very few societies where people were, you know, just absolutely stuffing themselves with carbs. There have been some. And in those societies, they were whole unprocessed carbs. I have nothing against eating fresh fruits and vegetables. I think they're good for you. I don't have anything against eating squash or sweet potatoes. I think they're good for you. It's all in terms of, you know, is it whole unprocessed food? Now, because we do have people running around these days with severely damaged metabolisms, they may have to cut back on the carbs, mm-hmm. even the whole unprocessed carbs, just because they have lost their ability to process those things.
Right. I mean, it's sort of a different strokes for different folks, and some people are just metabolically highly sensitive even to the complex carbs, so we might have to correct their metabolic imbalance and then maybe gradually reintroduce them. On your website, you also share an interesting side project, which is entitled Science for Smart People. Recently, I wrote a couple of blogs myself about how to pick apart a scientific study, how to know when you're being taken for a ride. What are some of your tips for people to be more discerning consumers of medical information? There's so much medical information out there, and these headlines, you know, one day coffee is good for you, another day it's bad for you. Drinking is okay, then it's zero tolerance for drinking. So how can you become a discerning reader of this?
I read your blog post on that, or article, whatever you want to call it, and you and I are basically offering the same advice. The first thing you have to ask yourself is this an observational study or a clinical study? An observational study, they just, in a nutshell, say, what did these people eat or think they ate over the last several years and how's their health? Oh, we'll draw conclusions from that. That is very weak evidence for the reasons you and I discussed before. I also encourage people to go in and actually look up the numbers if you can, because a lot of times we see things expressed in terms of relative risk, mm-hmm. as opposed to absolute risk. For example, I don't so much anymore, but I used to smoke the occasional cigar. And someone told me, don't you know that doubles your risk of throat cancer? Okay, that's the relative risk, doubles the risk. So I went and looked it up. It doubles it from something like 1 in 200,000 to 2 in 200,000.
Right.
You have to, with these things, I want people to, and I explain how to do this in the speech, I want them to understand how to understand the absolute risk as opposed to the relative risk, because you can make almost anything sound scary or mm-hmm. incredibly beneficial.
Right.
By, you know, quoting the relative risk.
A new wonder drug that doubles their survival time for cancer patients. Well, that may mean that the patient without the drug lives for 2 months, the patient lives for 4 months with a drug, but risking pretty hairy side effects.
Yeah, perfect example. And I point that out with statins to people all the time. You know, statins can have some pretty nasty side effects. And if you really look at how they come up with these numbers, like reduces heart attacks by 33%, that is, first off, only for a certain subcategory of people who were already had heart disease or were already at very high risk for heart disease. And the difference was 2 heart attacks in the treatment group versus 3 per 100 people. In the placebo group, that's 1 heart attack per 100 people taking this per years. And by the way, the death rate wasn't different. It's just there was 1 more heart attack in the placebo groups. I mean, those are the type of examples I bring up in this speech.
Well, let's look at the big elephant in the room, which is saturated fat. You know, for mm-hmm. the messaging has been so successful on saturated fat. Yeah, I don't know how old you are, but, you know, when I was a child, I think that's when they began this campaign against saturated fat. And in during the course of my lifetime, so many people have been successfully indoctrinated with the notion that fat is literally artery clogging. And it makes sense because, you know, if you flush too much stuff down the toilet, it's going to clog your pipes, and fat looks like a globular, sticky, messy, gooey thing that literally clings to your arterial walls, and, you know, you'll get that, you know, big heart attack or stroke. So can you sum up? I know there's a ton of evidence on this lately, but, you know, what are some of the real bell-ringing studies that have begun to challenge this dogma?
I don't have the studies in front of me to quote them by title or author, but there have been several studies on that subject. You know, there were, even back when this was all being debated, there were studies going on, and I'm talking clinical studies, not observational studies, where they really did manipulate people's diets. There were several studies where they put people on low saturated fat diets. It didn't reduce heart disease. So, I mean, you have to always look at, is the evidence clear? Is it consistent? That's a big thing in science. Is the evidence consistent? If it's not consistent, then you've got a problem there. And we have had societies all over the globe where people ate a lot of saturated fat. They had very low rates of heart disease. Even today, you know, a lot of people are familiar with the French paradox. They eat more saturated fat than us. They have significantly lower rates of heart disease. You start looking at things like cholesterol. The French and the Swiss have high cholesterol, low rates of heart disease. The Russians have an average cholesterol of 190. That would make most cardiologists jump up and down, yahoo, your cholesterol's below 200. The Russians also have one of the highest rates of heart disease in the world. So my guess is, based on the entire evidence, saturated fat has very little to do with it. The one exception that I have seen in research suggests that saturated fat may be harmful in the context of a diet full of sugar.
Okay, that's interesting. You know, I once, you know, people used to ask me my opinion of the Atkins diet, and I kind of coined an aphorism about that, which is that the Atkins diet is great, but it's great in the same way that you can get the best shave possible from a straight-edge razor. A straight-edge razor, if wielded properly, will give you the closest best shave, but in the hands of someone who is not proficient, can also cut your jugular vein, and you can bleed out. One of the worst aspects of the high-protein diets and, you know, the pro-meat message is that people take it as a license to consume tons of fat, and, oh, by the way, I'll have my dessert. And that's, you can do fine with an Atkins diet when purely implemented, but if you introduce even relatively small amounts of carbs, it's almost like it's going to ignite it and turn it into a toxic mix.
Yeah, I guess it would depend on where the carbs come from. But yeah, one of the scary emails I got after Fathead came out was some woman wrote to me and said, "My father saw your movie and really enjoyed it. Unfortunately, the message he took was he can eat all the sausage and bacon he wants, but he still eats his donuts."
There you go.
And I immediately wrote back and said, "Please tell your father directly from me that is not what I meant. He can eat the sausage and the bacon if he skips the donuts."
Right. Right. And I think that that's, I think, what we need to underline in you know, messaging is tricky. And people will sometimes use, our messages in an incorrect way to rationalize behaviors that are not in their interest, shall we say. So, nuts and bolts, what's today's Intelligent Medicine call to action? How can people access your movie? And what's its cost? And how long is it? And, you know, what can they expect to get?
The DVD, first off, if you don't want the DVD, you can go to Hulu. You can watch it for free on Hulu. You'll just have to sit through, I think, 3 or 4 commercial breaks. You can find it on iTunes for either rent or for, to purchase as a download.
That's might sort of nominal, like $3.95 or $2.95, something like that.
Yeah, probably for the rental. To buy, it's probably more like, I actually haven't looked, but I think to buy, it's probably more like $9 or $10. You can go to Amazon. It's on Amazon Instant Play. Those are all ways to either stream it or download it. We do sell a DVD. It's available on Amazon if you look for Fathead on Amazon. Mm-hmm. We also sell it through the website. And a lot of people like to get the DVD because of the bonus features. One is me giving a speech called Big Fat Fiasco, where I kind of go through the history of where we got to this bad advice. And that also includes bonus tracks. There was a lot of really good interview footage, you know, that I conducted with the doctors who appear mm-hmm. in the film, but you can only put so much of it in the film.
This is sort of the director's cut of Fathead. Yeah,
right. So there's another bonus track where it is just a whole lot of extra interview footage with my on-camera experts, footage that didn't exactly fit into the narrative of the film, but I thought was still worth seeing.
What's the timetable for the new children's book? I know it's not out yet.
It's not out. We are hoping to have it ready by May. The reason May specifically is I go on the annual low-carb cruise every year, which happens in May.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
I would just dearly love to. Well, that's a cruise that happens every May. Mm-hmm. For people who are interested in – it's called the low-carb cruise, but it's not all strictly – low carb. It's a lot of doctors, researchers, etc. Go to the cruise, and on the cruising days, you know, the days where you're not making a stop at some port, then there are lectures all day by speakers. And for several years, I've been one of them. And I would just dearly love to have the book ready when we go on the cruise, because, you know, there are hundreds of people there that I will know who have been asking when I'm going to have this book I've been threatening to write for the last couple of years. And I would just dearly love to have it ready by May. We'll see if that actually happens.
Is there a link for information on the cruise?
I don't have it on my site, but I think if you can give me just a second.
Sure.
I think it's just lowcarbcruise.org. Let me make sure. Nope. Maybe that might have misspelled. It's a great cruise. I really recommend people go on it. Can really get a lot of good information.
And it's actually a cruise that you may come back from lighter.
That's, you know, I've told people I've actually come back from that cruise weighing a pound less than when I got on board.
Could you share with us your own personal story? We usually do that at the beginning of these podcasts, but you say you underwent a transformation when you realized that this sort of balanced car, you know, sort of prudent diet that was low in fat wasn't fit for your metabolism. What happened to you personally?
Yeah, sure. Oh, by the way, I found it. Lowcarbcruiseinfo.com.
Okay. Lowcarbcruiseinfo.com. Okay, great.
Right. I had gone through my own low-fat, high-grain vegetarian phase starting in my 30s because, you know, I became convinced that was the best diet. And it's not like my health fell apart overnight. If it had, I might have had the intelligence to switch the diet. It was more like a slow creeping weight gain, and started getting signs of what I then thought were, you know, this is what happens when you get older. I had more muscle aches, not as much energy. I started getting a little arthritis, et cetera, et cetera. And it was really when I started doing initial research for Fathead when I realized that stuff was wrong, and I ditched the grains for the most part. Eventually, I ditched them completely. Started embracing real fats, whether they're saturated or not, and getting rid of the industrial seed oils, getting rid of, basically sugar grains and industrial seed oils. Those are the big three. And my health turned around. I lost weight. I got rid of arthritis, psoriasis, frequent stomach upsets. I almost never get colds anymore. I used to get sinus infections. I don't anymore. It was a real turnaround. And I laugh at myself now for thinking, oh, this is what happens when you get older, because I'm about to turn 57. And I am way more energetic and leaner and stronger and healthier than when I was 37.
Indeed. And that, you know, that certainly mirrors the experience of many of my patients when put on that kind of diet. So it's sort of like a quasi-paleo diet, because you eliminated some of these modern foods, grains and so on. All right. So our call to action also includes your website, which is fathead-movie.com, where you can get the director's cut of the movie Fathead and such important items as a cool mom's apron inscribed with a logo that says Cool Moms Cook with Butter.
That's right.
Right.
So just in time for Christmas.
Just in time. You know, I'm sure that's going to be an item that's big in demand this Christmas season, a great stocking stuffer. And you can pledge your allegiance to Fathead by purchasing that for your loved one. Okay, great.
So, and your mom will look good in it cooking Christmas dinner.
And slim and trim probably as well.
Right.
If she implements the diet. Okay, so thank you very much, Tom, and thanks for also providing kind of a lighthearted approach, an accessible approach, I would hazard to say a palatable approach to a subject that's often fraught with controversy and rancor. You've done yeoman service on behalf of America's dieters. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.